Welcome to episode 16 of the Your Kids Next Read podcast, in which we talk about books and reading for kids of all ages. I'm Alison Tate, author of middle grade adventure series, The Mapmaker Chronicles, The Adaban Cipher, and my latest, The Maven and Reeve mystery series. And I'm here with my co-host, the sensational Megan Daly, celebrity teacher librarian, blogger at Children's Books Daily, and author of Raising Readers, How to Nurture a Child's Love of Books. Megan and I, along with our good friend, author Alison Rushby, are founders of the Your Kids Next Read community on Facebook. Search for Your Kids Next Read there to join us. So, Megan, what is happening in Megan world this week?
Look, I feel like I'm sort of still in recovery from lockdown here in Queensland, and this really intense mix of what educators call blended learning, where you have some students at home in quarantine and some at school. And I'm fully aware that Queensland has not experienced lockdown in the same way that other parts of the country and the world have. But look, just from a teaching perspective, blended learning is just so hard. It's really mentally exhausting. And to add into that, the beekeeper during lockdown was driving 7,200 kilometres between Brisbane and Mildura with loads of bees to pollinate almonds. So I had to move into his house. I had all four of the children locked in said house for 4 days on my own while homeschooling and working, doing the blended learning. And it was, it was totally doable, but it was super, super busy. So Yeah, there's all the coffee in the world happening, and I feel like I'm recovering this week and getting on top of work again. How about you?
Wow. I'm just trying to get my head around what that must have been. And in fact, you know, I did speak to you a couple of times during that period, and I think at one stage you were hiding behind the trampoline in an attempt to escape the children who found you and started doing flips. And you were like, do you know what? I've come out here to hide from you. You need to go back inside now. In a perfectly reasonable teacher voice, which made me laugh. I've been launching The Wolf's Howl, which of course is the second book in the Maven and Reeve mystery series. So I have been Zooming and filming and writing and launching and talking on radio and talking to newspapers, and it's exhausting for a person who normally just sits at home in my office with my dog, you know. Like it's a funny thing because it's such an intense.
Exciting.
Oh no, it's very, very exciting. But the thing I found, it's so funny. I went to my regular coffee, you know, haunt the other day, and I was sort of between Zooms. I'd sort of done one, a big one the night before, and I had another one coming up. So, you know, when you're sort of like having to do camera stuff, you've got to make sure your hair's washed, you know, you've got to make sure that you're ready to be presented.
Yeah.
So I turned up at my, like, I go to this place at least 3 times a week, if not more, you know, me and the dog, and I'm standing there, but normally I'm kind of with my hair tied back and I've got the dog and I'm in a, you know, fleece and a puffer and a whatever, you know, and I turn up and honestly, I've got a mask on because that's what we're doing. So, okay, there was that, but they've seen me in a mask before. So the only difference in my appearance at this particular point in my life is that my hair was not, you know, tied back in a ponytail or whatever. It was sort of out around my face. And the guy who serves me 3 to 4 times a week kind of looked at me, and then he looked a little bit closer, and he went, Alison, is that you?
You did have some hair.
He goes, what have you done? I sort of washed my hair, Tom. Thanks for asking. with the whole queue standing behind me, like rolling on the floor with laughter. I was just like, anyway. So that's what I've been doing. I've been prepared. I've been Zoom ready at the drop of a hat, like for the last couple of weeks, which is hilarious. But I had a fantastic launch within the Your Kids Next Read community. I had a whole bunch of kids join me for a Zoom and an author talk, and it was very, very fun. And there was this, it was hilarious because, you know, you're looking at these kids, like most of them had their cameras on so they could join in, and I'm watching the one, there was one guy who sat there in like ate his dinner the whole time. There was another one who I don't know how they do this because I'm not tech savvy, but like he's like border changed, he put, you know, funny glasses on, it was And you're, and I'm sitting there trying to be professional about this, you know, laughing. Oh, it's funny. Anyway, so that's what I've been up to, keeping myself highly amused. And
that's fantastic.
Yeah, no, it was very fun. But also, I've been getting quite a bit of book mail, so I'm quite excited for us to share our book mail this week, Megan. But I'm going to let you go first because I've just rabbited on about my hair and my coffee, so it's probably your turn, I think.
Right. Okay. Well, I've also got some really fantastic book mail this week. First up, I've got Goldilocks by Chris Colfer and illustrated by John Proctor. Now, this one is... has caused a wave of excitement in my house because both of my girls loved The Land of Stories to the point that I would say they were obsessive. They both have their own full set of The Land of Stories. And the seven-year-old B in my life, he has also, he loves graphic novels. So he has not yet read The Land of Stories, but he's now read this Goldilocks graphic novel. And I don't think he's quite old enough to read The Land of Stories yet, but I've realized this is such a clever thing that Chris Colfer has done. He's now... He's not only capturing that audience that adored The Land of Stories, but now new and younger readers can also sort of be introduced to The Land of Stories. So it's so clever.
Mm.
It's really great. So I've only read half of it, but I'll read you the blurb. It says, when we first meet her in The Land of Stories, The Wishing Spell, Goldilocks is a beautiful and tough as nails outlaw. Discover her origin and more in this brand new, lushly illustrated, full-color graphic novel as she takes you on adventures where she may or may not break a few laws along the way. It's just been, like, it's been devoured by three young readers in my house who are 7, 10, and 13, and they have all adored it.
Oh, The Land of Stories, I have to say, I actually haven't read it. Clearly I need to. But it is, if you were going to talk about, you know, the number one series that is actually recommended in the Your Kids Next Read group over and over, I would say that that one would have to come very close to being the one, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And from a teacher librarian perspective, it's just, it continues. It's been out for a number of years now. It continues to just be read and read and read and recommended all of the time.
Mm.
So, yeah, it's really fantastic. I didn't necessarily want to read it. I don't often read those bestsellers because I don't need to promote them, but I had to because I couldn't work out why my own children were so entranced by them. And they're really clever. Chris Colfer's done an amazing job. Now, my second one is The Boy Who Tried to Shrink His Name by Sanhya Parapukharan and Michelle Pereira. Now, this is one of the most beautiful picture books I have seen in quite some time. And my delightful library technician, Anna Malta, introduced me to it. And I have just read it to so many classes this week. The blurb says, when Zim Dalamishka, going to start that again. When Zim Dalamishka Mishkadar starts a new school, he knows he's got to do something about his long name. When no amount of shrinking, folding, or crumpling works, he simply settles for Zim. But deep down, it doesn't feel right. It's not until a new friend sees him for who he truly is that Zim Dalamishka Mishkadar finds the confidence to step boldly into his long name. Now, aside from the fact that it's a tricky book to read in some respects, once you get your tongue around the name, and it's interesting because I work in a school where we have a lot of EALD students, so students for whom English is their second language, and we make an incredibly, well, we don't even make an effort, we do say the children's full long names, and some of them are hard for us to get our Australian tongues around, but it is such a sense of identity for a child, and you have to make an effort. So this book was always going to be a good one for my school community. But more than anything, the absolute essence of this story is the message that we do not have to shrink anything about ourselves for anyone else. And it may seem like a lot of picture books have explored this theme of self-identity before, but The Boy Who Tried to Shrink His Name absolutely nails it in a way that's really, I think, authentic, unique, and will absolutely connect with the intended audience, which is probably from 5, but I think it's quite ageless. It's beautifully illustrated. It's just a really, like it was, I'm going to say it's sort of almost a hard-hitting picture book. It really does give that message that you do not have to shrink yourself and change yourself, anything about yourself for anybody else, and just be your authentic self. So I so enjoyed that one.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And then my third one is Nelson number 3, Eggplants and Dinosaurs by Andrew Levine and illustrated by Katie Kerr. Now, I have really enjoyed this series. Nelson 1 was Pumpkins and Aliens and Nelson 2 was Broccoli and Spies. And it's an audience from about 6 plus, maybe newly independent readers or my 10-year-old who just loves a bit of a laugh. It's a totally outrageous adventure. All of them are about Nelson Hunter, the boy who hates vegetables. But his grandmother, who is a bit weird, tells him that they give him superpowers. So it's this one is a serious spy mystery and an epic dinosaur disaster. They're really, really funny books. And Andrew Levine's is a DJ of quite some renown, and I have loved his hip-hop show for years now. So he's well-known, and I'm always cautious about books which are written by identities, but he's done an amazing job with this Nelson series, and I just love that it's about hating vegetables but knowing you have to eat them. So highly, highly recommended reading.
That's the mum in you coming out there.
I know.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I've actually got some great book mail as well this week. So the first one that I received, and I actually got this a little while ago, but we had a little break there during lockdown, so I haven't had a chance to talk about it yet. And it's called Exit Through the Gift Shop, and it's Maryam Master. Could be Maryam, but I think it's Maryam Master, illustrated by the fabulous Astrid Hicks, whose illustration work we love.
We do.
This little book is just wonderful. I'm just going to say that it's quite wonderful. It's got a blurb, a quote from David Walliams, so you know you're doing all right?
Mm.
It's funny. It's like heart-tugging. It's got gorgeous graphic kind of illustrations all the way through. I'll read you a little bit of the back. Anahita Rosalind Gorban Galuschuk. I think that's how you would say it.
We're really going with the hard names this week.
Yes, that really is her name, but you can call her Anna, so we're going to call her Anna, is discovering that life is absurd. As if dying of cancer at the age of 12 and a half isn't bad enough, she still has to endure daily insults from her nemesis, Alyssa, Queen Mean, Anderson. Anna's on a wild roller coaster of life and death, kindness and cruelty, ordinary and extraordinary. And she's got a few things to do before she exits. So when I say heart tugging, it is very much so. But it's also just written in this very funny sort of little diary style voice. And Maryam is very funny, and she's got a great, we sort of connected on Instagram as well, and you can feel her voice and all of that sort of come through even just in her social media. Like there's a real authenticity of this. And, you know, we talk about voice all the time. I know I've had this conversation so many times, but it's a lovely little book and it's got a wonderful cover.
The cover is gorgeous. Yeah, I'm sold from the cover.
It is also sad. I'm just going to say that as well.
I don't know why.
I know. So, but you know, are they not the best books? The ones that are just all of the feels.
Feel something. Yeah.
All of the feels. That will be my blurb on the back. It's just all of the feels. AL Tate. So I got that one, and that's a great one. I also have the second book in the Michaela Mason series by Alexa Moses, and this one is called Michaela Mason's Big List of Camp Worries. Now, Alexa Moses is another one with a fantastic voice. It's very funny. Poor old Michaela has a lot of worries, and I know that there's a lot of kids out there that would relate to the fact that she has a lot of worries. The first book in the series was, I think, Michaela Mason's Big List of Worries. But in this book, Michaela's off to camp, which I don't know what you were like as a kid, but school camp was just a world of pain for me, of all the unexpected things that might happen.
I adored it, but my kids haven't.
So she's first school trip, first tree climb, 21 camp worries. Can Michaela Mason handle it? So it's a great, you know, Alexa and I met at a thing. I can't even remember what it was years ago. Something, maybe a workshop, maybe I don't know. But she's done some great picture books. She's done some great middle grade, and this is her new middle grade series. And I think particularly kids, you know, in about grade 5 or 6 who do have that, you know, worry, there are gentle mental health themes woven through in a humorous way as the as the media release says. But yeah, I think definitely one to have a look at if you've got kids, you know, in that age group. And then the last one I've got is just fab. I love it. It's called Happy Hoppy Home by Tal Suwanakit, who is an illustrator of some renown, has done a
beautiful.
Lot of books, and this is an author illustrated book, and look, I think a lot of people are going to relate to this. Having just moved house, I can fully relate to this particular book. But it's basically about, it's a really cute little house about the Hares, who've got four kids, and they live in a very small, very crowded borough. And they go in search of a new home, and they sort of like have a great, they've got this plan of what they need and what they're looking for, and everybody wants space. And so they start digging, you know, they're going off to do a new, to find a new burrow. And, you know, and they kind of like go all these places, but there's no space for them because all the burrows around them are taken. So then they've got to like create a whole new one. And anyway, it's a great story for kind of realizing that home is where you are. And that may be a small crowded borough. It's not so bad after all. But it's a really sweet book, and I very much related to it, having just done the whole house move situation myself, getting used to somewhere else. So, I'd recommend it. I think it looks beautiful, absolutely beautiful.
I will definitely be getting that one for the school library. I have loved those books.
Oh, they're so cute. And the illustrations are so fun. There's just so, like, all the little details and so many fun things happening. So all of those books are actually out now. So, you know, go forth and get yourself a copy. All right. Megan, it's time, my friend, for the bingo question. Now, if you're new to the podcast, bingo questions are the kinds of questions that come up in the Your Kids Next Read Facebook community, which I'm pretty sure is about 20,000 members now. These are the questions that get asked over and over and over again. And this week's one is a cracker, and it's particularly timely. I think the reason it's kind of bubbled back up to the surface is because, you know, so many of us are finding ourselves unable to get to bookshops, unable to get to libraries. And the question, and I'm going to pretty much put this one over to you, Megan, because you have a lot more experience in this area than I do. The question is, what e-reader should I get my kid? Megan.
Good one, isn't it? And it does come up over and over again. Now, as a teacher librarian, a lot of people may assume that I prefer paper books, and I just prefer reading in general, and am happy for my students and my own children to access books and story in whatever way suits them best at the time. So I've really embraced the e-reader for my own children and my students at school. I did stacks of research on this a few years ago because I was looking at purchasing e-readers for my library, which we did do, but that sort of has... You know, most kids these days have their own. There's a lot of people that use iPads because iPads are a thing that a lot of children have these days. There's a lot of people that have Kindles because Kindles seem to be the device of choice for most adults. I came around to the Kobo Clara e-readers for a number of reasons. I am not a fan of children reading on iPads because they are backlit, and I do believe you can turn that off, but my biggest concern is that, I know for my own children, I don't know, maybe your children are more obedient than mine. Mine just goes straight to YouTube. Yes, I'm reading that book, Mummy. Let me just look over that shoulder, Pud. So I just like that a dedicated e-reader is just about reading. And the Kobo Clara e-reader is very good at being able to connect with a lot of public libraries and a lot of school libraries and the systems that they use, whereas the Kindle is very much tied to Amazon, and so you are always having to purchase then your books through Amazon. With my Kobo Clara e-readers, my girls have had them for about 2 years now, and I've only purchased one or two books for them. Everything else they have borrowed on Overdrive through the public library system or through Wheeler's eBooks, which is what their school uses, and my current school uses that as well, and they can all be downloaded. So I highly recommend the Kobo Clara e-reader. And just one of the reasons I absolutely love e-readers and am a huge advocate for them is that it's opened up reading to so many young people. If you've got a dyslexic student or a student with sight issues or your own child, You can change the fonts on them, and on the Kobo, you can actually change it to a dyslexic-friendly font, and you can make the words a lot larger. You can look up words. There's a dictionary. There's a note-taking and referencing section. I just think are really clever devices, and there's multiple options on them. So it's, to me, made reading less complex. I know in the past, if you had a child who was dyslexic, those dyslexic texts are fantastic, but they're often $100 each. Mm. Whereas on an e-reader, you can literally change the font yourself. So that's some of the reasons that I love e-readers, and I, you know, I'm not at all affiliated with the Kobo. I don't even know.
I was going to say, hashtag not sponsored.
Yeah, I don't even know what company is it, Kobo. I don't know.
Maybe you should get sponsored. You could be an influencer.
Be an influencer. Imagine that.
Imagine. Oh, it's funny. Yeah, because it is a question. And one of the main reasons that people ask the question is that ability to tap into those library networks, because it often comes with, you know, which e-reader should I get, my kid? I want to be able to access, you know, the various, you know, library apps and things like that. And I so neither of my boys are into e-readers. They both prefer paper books, which is interesting. So we don't actually have any dedicated e-readers in this house at all. But I have on my iPad, because I'm not 10 and I don't immediately go to YouTube.
Oh, you have got some self-regulation skills. Well done, Alison Tate.
Only just. But I do use the Kindle app on my iPad, and also BorrowBox. Oh, my God. It just changed my life last year. And I had never really got into e-books at all ever. Just was never really my thing. But last year when we were, you know, we were unable to go to the library. And the thing that I've discovered about myself when I'm stressed and anxious, which I was last year for a whole range of different reasons, is that I start to consume, and it's a really interesting phenomenon that I have only really just realized about myself, I start to consume Regency romance novels, like specifically Regency romance novels. And the reason I think that I do it is that all through my HSC when I was all those years ago, that's what I read while I was doing my HSC. My parents were despairing, right, because I was supposed to be studying, and instead I was just hoovering my way through about 400 Regency romance novels. I did start out with Jane Austen, and then I kind of, you know, went from there. And then last year, that's what I was doing again, and I realized that I could get them on BorrowBox from my library, and I was literally reading two a day some days if I was, you know, like really, because it just is that real sense of, I knew it was going to be a happy ending, and I knew that it was nothing like what I was experiencing in the outside world at that particular time. And so that's probably what got me into e-reading. And then I was just like, oh, this is so convenient. I cannot believe I've never done this before.
And you can finish one Regency romance at 10 o'clock at night and immediately download another.
Start another one if you want to. And the other thing I've discovered through the library, through BorrowBox, through my library, is audiobooks, which I had never really got into before, but am now doing. So I don't know. There's a whole other world of words out there
really
I'm very excited by. But anyway, what e-reader should I get for my kid? Megan recommends the not hashtag Kobo, not sponsored.
Kobo Clara.
Kobo Clara. There you go. All right. So let's move on to this week's quick tips. And I have got probably a great tip this week. I've got one, but I've also got a link to 10. And I'm going to share Jacqueline Harvey's top tip this week. And Jacqueline Harvey, of course, is the author of like a billion books, Alice Miranda, Clementine Rose, Kenzie and Max. And I know she's got some new ones coming up very soon. She's an international bestseller. She's amazing. She's just made the Dimmick's top 51, you know, kids books list, which has only just recently been released. So have a look if you're looking for Australia's top 51 kids books as voted by the good readers of Dimmick's, then you should definitely check that out. Now, Jacqueline wrote for me her top 10 writing tips, which are on my blog at alisontate.com, and I will put the link in the show notes, which you will find at yourkidsnextread.com. And she had her top 10 tips for writers, for young writers, for kids. And it's her number 10 tip is the one that really got me. And I think particularly for this time, And it's for kids who like to write. And the tip is to think about what sort of story would make you want to switch off from your devices. What kind of story would make you put your phone aside and dive into a story and focus on writing that story? The story that you love, not the story that you think your teachers will like, not the story that your mum's going to be proud of. Write the story that you want to read. Because as she says, as Jacqueline says, if you're bored writing the story, it's almost guaranteed that people are going to be bored reading it as well. So the most important thing is to fall in love with your characters and really enjoy what you're writing. Write the story that you would be absolutely obsessed by. And then that is going to be a really great story. Mm. So Jacqueline's got 9 other brilliant tips on my blog, but I think it's something that with kids, particularly when they're writing, they are often writing to try to impress other people. Like there's this notion that they want to get the A at school. They want their mum to say, oh, that's a great story or whatever it is. And I understand that as well. But the way to really grab hold of writing and to really grab hold of your voice as a writer and the way to really grab hold of a great story is to write for yourself, write the story that you want to read. And I think that's a really great tip. So that's my quick tip this week, just the one with 9 others that you can follow up. What have you got for us this week, Megan?
Well, with so many of us spending so much time at home at the moment and we're not spending any money on travel, I have noted through my friends' social media and just through scrolling myself that renovations seem to be happening.
They are massive. You cannot get a builder or a carpenter for love nor money at the moment,
no,
I don't think.
You cannot. So I just wanted to give 3 quick tips on book-themed bedrooms for kids if that's something that you are looking at, particularly, I guess, for younger children because I'm in my 13-year-old now. Is probably not going to let me do this. But my own girls have had book-themed bedrooms since birth, and I think books are perfect for basing bedrooms designs around, and I cannot wait to get my hands on the small boy bee's bedroom quite soon. I am like beside myself. So choosing a favourite book gives, I think, a really clear direction. You've got a colour palette decided for you by an illustrator who often are amazing artists and really they're fantastic with colour, and it gives you a bit of a general theme. So my girls have had bedrooms based on Blue Willow, the Little Blue Book by Gay Chapman. They've had a Miffy themed bedrooms. They've had fairy dancer bedrooms based on the Cheryl Orsini, Natalie Jane Pryor book. They've had Frida Kahlo themed bedrooms. Pudsta went through an absolute stage of being obsessed with Frida Kahlo books. Pudsta's had a Harry Potter themed bedroom, and Chickpea had a dinosaur themed room at one stage based on a book that was, I hated that book, but my mother gave it to her and I tried to give it to the smallest bee the other day and Chickpea just looked at me like, do not even think about it. So
I can't believe you've gone through all these stages of themed bedrooms. Like,
look,
wow. I'm just happy if the bedroom's clean.
No, it's a real thing for me. It's not a segue at all. I once, Chickpea went to sleep at night. We discussed that she wanted a Frida Kahlo bedroom, but we hadn't actually actioned this. She went to sleep one night and it was like 9 o'clock. And I said to Dan, hey, I'm going to do her bedroom now. And he just looked at me and was like, oh my gosh, here we go again. And off he went to bed. By the time she woke up in the morning, I had repainted an entire wall blue, Frida Kahlo blue. I had stenciled birds onto the wall and the ceiling. I had got all of her flowers that she used for the flowers in her hair. I put them everywhere. I didn't have time, obviously, to change her bed linen because she was sleeping in the bed, but I'd moved the bed while she was asleep in it from one side of the room to the other. And when she woke up in the morning, all I heard was, Mummy, what happened?
Well, I can understand that. Like, she probably thought she'd entered an alternate universe somewhere.
I've changed my kids' bedrooms every year. I just love it. It's my thing. So these are my 3 tips.
Okay.
buy a few copies of the favorite book of your child and cut them up. Yes, cut them up. One for artworks on the wall, one for reading, and one for a spare, because that book will go out of print one day and you will regret it. I have 12 copies of Little Blue by Gay Chapman because that book is now out of print and you cannot get it anywhere, and Chickpea will love it always. So use then that book and choose three colours from the artworks, because then those three colours kind of become the colours of the room. And you need three. You can't just go with one, I don't think.
Must have three.
You must have three colours. That's my top tip. And then number two is think up. Kids' bedrooms are often quite small, but we don't utilise the walls enough. And shelving mounted on the wall, some at reading height and some higher for special books, is really good. If you can get front-facing shelving, and I've got some examples of that on my website, that's a really great way for children to draw a child's eye to the book covers that they may like. And then my third tip is to create a book nook or a reading zone. It doesn't have to be big, it just has to be cozy. So my girls have had bean bags, they've had hanging chairs. The middle B at the moment has got a big velvet blue chair in his room that his reading chair. And my girls have also had reading tents when they were a lot younger and they loved those. So, and finally, get your kids involved. It's great. This is probably the teacher in me. Everyone's just thinking, oh, for goodness sake, Megan. But it's great practice for spatial awareness, drawing out the design of a room. It's great for budgeting and just general design, to have them do the floor plans and to dream big at the start and then get a bit more realistic and practical. No, mummy is not going to mount a dinosaur head on one side of your room and the tail on the other side of the room. But it's really good to get them involved. So that's if you were thinking about redesigning your kids' bedroom at the moment, I would suggest basing it on one of their favourite books.
Well, I have to say that, yes, I think all of those things are excellent. The other thing is that then they turn 14 and they want to paint their entire room black. So there was we had that. And then they was like, no, we're not doing that. So then all of the lovely, like I had the most beautiful artworks, you know, some children's illustrations, some things here. Got a lovely Alison Lester, you know, print and all that sort of stuff that was all up in Book Boy Junior's room. All of that was just in the hallway one day. And he had a list of, you know, Tupac posters that he wanted me to get, and he'd like some LED lights to go around his bed. And he was like, it was going through this thing, and John and I were both, my husband, the builder, were both looking at each other going, I said to him, are you creating a bachelor pad in my house? And he's like, no, what are you talking about? And John goes, well, it sounds like a bachelor pad to me, mate. Crazy. So, you know, make the book bedrooms while you can. Exactly. Make them while you can. Anyway, so, that sort of wraps us up for this week. We've been remarkably efficient. There has been hardly any waffle. I know, no waffle. So what are you up to this week?
Well, it would have been my husband's 45th birthday this week. So I've been eating all of the BB balls, Jaffa flavoured. They're the orange ones, people. Oh, they're fantastic.
They're so good.
And chocolate macadamians that I would have given him for his birthday but I've been eating them on his behalf. He was really good at, he had good self-regulation. He would have taken a month to eat the BB balls. I've eaten a packet a day this week and I feel really ill. And last night I was Googling cleansing diets, which I won't do, but I think about these things. I've been a big plum this week, and I just really wanted to give a bit of a shout out to any of you who might be listening who are grieving someone, because grief never ends. It does morph and it changes, but it is always there, and that person can just never, ever be replaced. So I wanted to end by asking you to do something for me. If you have someone in your life who has lost a loved one, doesn't matter how long ago that was, just send them a text, an email, or a DM, and just say something like, I want you to know that I see your grief. Please always talk to me about your person, and dear Glory, you are doing super, super well, because that has meant so much to me when people have acknowledged that my grief never ends, my children's grief never ends. And when people drop off packets of BB balls, thank you, Joe Curry, it is even better. So, you know, I feel like BB balls can solve a lot of problems, but reach out to anyone you know who might have lost a loved one. What about you? Are you doing more Zooming this week, Al?
Well, look, I am doing more Zooming, but you know, I have also been eating all the BB balls.
Oh, have you?
I have.
What's the flavour?
So the Jaffa, the
The
Darrell,
Jaffa.
the
But
Darrell
do you get
Lee.
lots of flavours now?
No, I know, and I've tried all of them,
Me too.
but the orange ones are the best ones, right? So
Do
I
you
must have
suck
been.
them and do you suck them and get all that off, or do you? I just crunch them. What do you do?
No, I'm a remove all the. No, I'm a I'm, like it just, I'm a sucker. What can I say?
That's really good again because that means you have good emotional intelligence and self-regulation. Unlike me, I just crunch them and then I regret it. And I think, can't you just melt it in your mouth, Megan? But no, I can't.
Anyway, so I must have been channeling that and channeling Dan and there I've been absolutely obsessed with BB balls this week as well. So there's obviously something in the air that's wonderful. And yes, I will be Zooming. I've got a whole bunch of school visits to do on Zoom, which is, not the same as going, but book week's coming and it's great that we're still actually able to, get into schools even if only via Zoom. So I'm really pleased to be doing that. And I will do exactly what you told me to do. I'm going to send an email or send a DM and just say, I'm thinking about you.
Great. Well done, you.
All right. Well, without further ado,
I
we're
guess we're
off.
going.
We're
See you
done.
later.
Bye.